Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in once again, and I hope you've had a good week so far. And coming back here to the Word of God, we're going to look at it, just jump into it here in just a minute. If I could ask you to pray for a few things before we begin this morning, and those of you that know, we're praying for our church building and praying for the construction to begin on that and all that comes with that and all the preliminary things that we have to get done. So if you would, as a church family, continue to pray about that and pray for those items that we have and get those, we'd love to get those things rolling and get that going here very soon. As soon as some of this quarantine and other things are lifted, hopefully we can begin on that. Also, if you will pray for our services right now, we are planning on meeting in a certain location in an office building at this time, but we're still unsure of that. And so please pray for that with us. And we're looking for some place that we can meet temporarily right now. And but God has blessed us so richly over these past year and a half now almost, and been so blessed to have where we've been. But pray for that if you will, upcoming, hopefully here at the around May. If we get able to, we'll be able to get into a place of our own there for a temporary time. So pray for those things, if you will. Several people have asked for prayer, if you will. Pray for them. And as those of you know who I'm talking about, they're not feeling too well. If you would, pray for my wife as well. And she is about to give birth at any time. And so we're waiting on that. Hopefully the Lord, that'll be sooner than later. And we're waiting on that. Pray for her, if you will, please. I know many of you have been praying for that. Well, all right. We're glad to be with you here once again. And I hope that we'll be able to share the Word of God with you and you will be blessed. Grab your Bibles there. Open them up. We're going to be in Genesis 24 this morning. Genesis 24, if you will, please. And before we begin, obviously, as we always do, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come together. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in this way around your word. And many, Lord, are there right now with their Bibles open. And I thank you for them. And Lord, our prayer requests, and you know each one of them, Father, but you know where we are. You know what we need. We do pray that you'd help us, Lord. Guide us. Guide me especially this morning. Help me. And I prepared and Lord, ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction. And I know that you will answer that. I pray you would. Lord, this message would be a blessing, an encouragement, a help to those people that have tuned in and are ready to hear from you. And I ask for that, Lord. I pray these things in your name, in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. We'll take your Bibles, as I've already said, Genesis 24. Genesis 24, I want to start a new series here, and I've titled it, Get in the Way. Get in the Way. You've ever been told or even yelled at, get out of the way. I was driving the other day, and a dear elderly person was in front of me, and I kindly said, get out of the way. You know, they were doing about 10 miles under the speed limit. And we were laughing about that a little bit yesterday. But people often tell us, get out of the way. Get out of the way. And God tells us in particular, as his children, get in the way. Let me use you. Let me guide you. Let me help you. So often we're not maybe where we're supposed to be, and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, or whatever the case would be. And we've looked at some of that already on Sundays, but I'm going to go a little bit different direction now. In Genesis 24, get in the way. You, those of you that know your Bibles, you know that chapter 24 in particular, Abraham tells his servant to go and find a wife for his son. Now notice what you, if you will, with me here, verse number 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. But I must needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest. And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Now, we'll stop there for a minute. As you know, I'm sure, the story, and some of you maybe that haven't, I'd encourage you to read through. It's a very, very encouraging story. But Abraham, as you know, all that God has done in his life, he now tells his servant, go and find a wife for my son Isaac. He says, what about one of the daughters here in the land? He says, no, please don't do that. That is not God's will. God is desiring, as he made clear to Abraham, to go and get a wife of Abraham's kindred, Abraham's family. And the servant goes and he begins his journey, and we're going to read that in just a minute. And fascinating how God works in the life of an individual who's in the way for God. Are you in the way this morning for God? Are you allowing God to work in your life and do the things that He wants to do? You know, a true and a faithful child of His will come to God and say, God, I'm willing for You to do whatever You want me to do. I'm willing to be where You want me to be. I'm willing to go. For Abraham, as you recall, he left his family. He left his kindred. He left everybody that he loved, and he went out with his wife and his nephew in a way. And so, as we see here this morning, are you in the way? Get in the way for God. Get in the way. Now, the servant of Abraham was asked to complete a task. A task. It's given. You and I, as children of God, are given a task every single day of our lives. Now, there's an overall will that God's given us, but there's a daily will as well. Now, this task was not an easy task. We know that. This was not something that was just happen chance. It was not something that just anyone could do. This was very important. Now, again, let me say this, that God's business is of utmost importance. We saw a little bit on Wednesday night about that God's business, God's desire to see all people saved. We know that. But it's very vital and it's so important that we have to be fully committed to Christ. It's not just a whim. It's not just something that will, I'll volunteer here and there if God needs my help. No, we're fully committed to serving our Savior. Now, this servant was committed. I want you to notice, first of all, he has no name. There's no name given, but it just says his servant. Now, we see here that often we assume there's a mention of a servant of Abraham by the name of Eliezer, and we assume that this is the same gentleman. But in our text here, it doesn't say his name. And I've said this so often, but are we willing, am I willing to serve if nobody knows my name? Am I willing to go if nobody knows who I am? Nobody ever inquires about who did this or did that. God's looking for servants. Now, this was no doubt because of the fact he was going in Isaac's name. We're going to see here in just a few minutes, this is one of the most beautiful pictures of God sending his son in a way and going as Isaac is a representative of Jesus Christ, and you know that, and we, the church, the bride of Christ, and all that that entails. It's a beautiful picture of what God is going to do here, I believe, very soon with His people. Now, Jesus reminded us of this truth throughout the gospel accounts that we are not to go in our own name, but we go in His name, right? We go in His name. We do things for His name's sake, as Jesus puts it. We know all of this. Now, Isaac is, again, a picture of Christ. Abraham's a picture of the God the Father. The servant is a picture of Holy Spirit. And the Father sends out the Holy Spirit to find a bride for the Son. John 14:26, listen to this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will what? Comfort you in my name. So we see a wonderful picture given to us. Coming back to our service, just Jesus spoke of a radically different view of service. Jesus said to be chief to what? Be least of all. The disciples one day were having a little banter back and forth with each other and asking each other, hey, who's going to be the greatest? I think I'll be because my name starts with A, you know. I think I'll be. I don't know because I have a little more prominence here. I'm older than you fellas. No. And Jesus says, you want to be chief? You be the least of all. Least of all. We know these things. Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, took upon himself the form of what? A servant, right? Not the form of anything else, the form of a servant. A servant. Romans 6, Paul declares that who or what we yield ourselves to obey, we are the servants of that. whether sin or righteousness. So you are a servant either of sin in particular or of righteousness. That's what Paul mentions in chapter 6 of Romans. I'm just trying to encourage you with this today. Get in the way so that God can use you. God wants to use you. You say, not me. I can't. I've never been anything of significance. No, God wants to use you. If you'll let Him, God will use you. So let's see a few things here this morning, if you will, with me. We're going to see, number one, there's an urgent request. Abraham, in verse 1 through 4, really, he comes and he says, I'm well stricken in age. The Lord is blessed, but Isaac has no bride. Now, there's an urgent request today from Christ, from God in our lives, isn't there? Jesus said, work while it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. There's coming a day, not only in your physical life, that you will die and you can no longer work for Christ. But if the Lord were to return while we're still alive, there's coming an end to it. And we ought to be working. He also said, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. James said that our lives are but a vapor. Peter says, we're like grass that withereth with the rising sun. And you that live any length of time know that. The older you get, it seems life gets shorter and shorter, obviously. You say, well, I can't believe it. Yeah, because the Bible's clear. The Lord's work requires haste. Haste. Tomorrow's not the time to share the gospel. Tomorrow's not the time to start your Bible reading schedule. Tomorrow's not the time to pray with your children. Tomorrow's not the time to work on your marriage. No, it's today. Why? We see number one here, the urgent request. It comes to here, letter A, the brevity of life. We ought to serve while we can serve. We need to serve. The brevity of life. David repeatedly writes in the Psalms, what's he say? Oh Lord, our life is so short. It's but a vapor. It's so here one day, gone the next. And the brevity of life. Serve while you can. I'm glad I did, or I wish I would have. I'm glad I did, or I wish I would have. That'll be the theme of many people's lives at the end of their life. Oh, I wish I would have. Why don't you do it now? Brevity of life. There's an urgent request. Get in the way for God. Let her be the blessing of God, the blessings of God. It should cause us to want to serve Him. Now notice it says that verse 1, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. All things. And he has him put his hand under his thigh. And those days, you know, that was an oath. And they took an oath or a promise. Promise me that you'll do this. And the servant said, I will. I'll do it. I'll do what you want me to do. The blessings of God. We say, well, God, I'll serve you if you do so. No, God's already blessed you so richly. Why don't you do what God's asked you to do? Let her see there's a bond of believers. The Lord does not ask us to do this alone, but there's a body of believers. God sends others around and helps us to, again, lock arms and be faithful to Him and get in the way. Say, well, I would, but I don't want to do it alone. You're not going to do it alone. God will help. God will bless. God will provide people around you to accomplish things. I've been so encouraged and blessed. We stepped out by faith and started this church. And we got so much help right away coming in. And from people all around us. And God's blessed. And He's just put these people strategically around us in every way to help us to accomplish the task of God, the will of God. And He'll do the same for you if you'll let Him. He'll do the same for you. There's a bond of believers. We're going to see that, and I pray very soon we'll be able to meet again together. And I can't wait for that. One of the key things, or most things, people have mentioned the most, I should say, is that they miss the fellowship. And that's something that we need, and we know that. Letter D, there's the binding of a promise. Can I say, have you kept your promises to God? God has listened. We know that. God has kept those promises. He knows every vow and promise that we've made to Him. Have you kept your promise? Get in the way for God that He can use you. Have you kept your promise? We see an urgent request, though, that's here. Number two, let me say not only that, there's an understandable response. Now notice verse number 5. He says, and the servant said unto him, peradventure, what if the woman will not be willing to follow me? What if she won't follow me into this land? Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. He says, what if she doesn't want to leave her family and come with me? Should I take and get your son and take him to her? He says, absolutely not. That's not God's will. That's not God's plan. And we see here an understandable response. As we come back to this, notice letter A, there's a preparation for rejection. We will be rejected as we live for Christ. We will be. You ought not to say, well, what if they don't like me? What if it doesn't work out? What if they don't want to allow us to build a church? Yeah, they're not going to. So settle that already in your heart. Be willing, though. As we said a little bit on Wednesday again, Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. I've called you out of the world. You remember that? I've called you out of the world, so they're going to hate you. Don't be a friend of the world. A friend of the world, you know, is an enemy of God. 1 John. Seeing this through. Ephesians chapter 6. You don't need armor if you're not in a war. People say, put on the armor of God. Yeah, that's fine, but you don't need armor if you're just sitting in your house. If you have armor on in your house, you're just playing make-believe. You need armor on for being in the war. You're in a battle. You're in the midst of the battle. And we got to get in the way. You say, well, I'd like to get in the way, but only if it's easy. Only if it's, you know, a walk in the park. No. You got to go somewhere else then. You got to find another avenue. God says, I want you to get in the way and you will be prepared for rejection. The servant says, what if? And Abraham says, no. Don't worry about that. You follow my directions. You do what I have asked you to do. Notice a proposition for relocation. He gives a proposition. Well, what if? Let's rearrange some things so that we can still please the Lord. We can still please Abraham, but let's do it our way. Abraham says no. A lot of Christians today do the same thing. Let's do it our way. We're still serving God. We're still being faithful. We're still doing it, but let's do it our way. No, God says, you don't have to do that. Again, as we said, you don't have to assume. You don't have to presume anything with God. He's given us in this book. Follow the book. You ever tried to put something together, as I have many times, without the instruction manual? You end up with about 3 extra screws and a couple extra pieces. You don't know where they go, so you forget it. Just take it inside. Your wife won't ever find out. No, she found out. Fell apart. And you think about that. Follow the instruction manual. What? Preposition of relocation. We do not have to compromise to accomplish the will of the Father. We don't. Abraham says no. If she won't follow, then reject her. She's not the one. Well, how do you know that, Abraham? Oh, because God told me. God told me this is the way it's supposed to be. God told me this is where He wants us in this land, He says. This is where He wants us to build our family in the generations to come in this land. Let me say something today again. You can follow this book and rely upon this book. God will not let you down. The proposition. We do not have to compromise. There's a letter C, a plea to remain. Abraham said, this is what God wants. This is what God wants. Letter D, there's a promise remembered. Now, as we move ahead, I want you to see verse 7. Notice this. Verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from hence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swear to him concerning the matter. Did you catch all that? Abraham reiterated to him what God had told him. He said, God already promised me this. God told me. There's a promise remembered. He said, God promised it, and therefore He will fulfill it. Do you know the promises of God? In order to know the promises of God, you've got to know this book. You've got to be in this book. Why? Because you've got to know that He will fulfill it. So many people today are so confused. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's happening. They're scared. They're fearful. I heard just last night a dear Christian lady. She took her own life because she was so fearful and so worried about what was going on with this pandemic. And it's so tragic, unnecessary. We know the God of the Bible. We know He's in control. We know what's going on. And we see that. God decides to take our lives, so be it. We know where we're going. We see what God and know what God is doing. He said there's a promise remembered. God promised it, He will fulfill it. He had experienced many promises in his life, right? Abraham did. In order for Abraham to experience those things, what did he do? He got in the way. God came to Abraham one day and He said, Abraham, I see you're faithful. You love me. I want you to leave everything you have and follow me. Abraham didn't argue one bit. He said, yes, sir. He got right in the way. He got in the way. He said, I want to do what you want me to do. Now we see here some things. The letter E, the procedure is reiterated. And then I want you to see this, not only an urgent request, understandable response. Number three, an undeniable revelation. Now, we come through, I'll skip ahead here, but he takes his journey. He goes forward. Now, notice verse 13, if you will. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass, he's praying now, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now notice this. There is an undeniable revelation. He stops and prays to the God of heaven. Notice letter A, there's a delay for direction. A delay for direction. Now we said already there's an urgent request. We ought to get in the way for God. We ought to get busy. God's the business of the Lord requires haste. But let me say, there's a delay for direction. You and I ought to take time and delay our day, for many of you probably the morning time, for direction. Lord, I want to know what you want me to do. Lord, without you, I will fail. I'll bumble and stumble throughout my day, and I won't do as you commanded me. I won't heed the moving of the Holy Spirit, all of that. One of the hardest things is to wait on God. Notice he stopped and asked God to guide him. He knew what to do. Go to the place and ask around. Hey, you know, Abraham and Isaac, but he stopped. Lord, help me. Now let her be a determining factor. Is it okay to ask God to make it clear to us? Many people ask. Is it okay to throw out that fleece as old Gideon did? Well, I feel like I'm not taking God at his word, or I'm not living by faith if I do that. No, my friends, it's okay to do that. Now, you don't tell God what to do, but you have to be careful and say, God, if I do this, would you show me, make it clear to me, specifically clear? We all know that, those of us that walk with the Lord. He does it all the time. Lord, if you would, and he says, if let her come and give us drink, and then if she makes this statement, I'll give water to your camels as well. God does not want us in his will, and he does not want his will to be for us a mystery. He does not want his will for us to be a mystery, and it doesn't have to be. Very clear. Very clear. If you follow this book and live for the Lord and serve him, you know it's not a mystery. It's very clear. It's concise. There's no coincidences with the Bible. There's no accidents with God. It's very clear. Undeniable revelation. Undeniable. Now, let her see. Not only the delay for direction, the determining factor, but the distinguished female. Notice verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. Isn't that like God? It came to pass before he even ended his prayer. She's already standing there. That's the God we serve. Behold, Rebekah came out, and who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. A virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up, and the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. You can see everyone's waiting to see what she's going to do. Will she say it? Will she say it? And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran again into the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Can you imagine this fella? He says, is she going to say it? I don't know. Sure enough, here she comes. She says it. She says it. Notice her attitude and demeanor was outstanding. It was outstanding. She had no idea who this man was or who this entourage was. He had people with him, but acted correctly anyway. Sometimes if people will treat us right, then yeah, I'll put a little extra effort in. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. If you're nice to me, yeah, I'll go the extra mile. I'll draw water for your camels also. No, the outstanding attitude she had. It's just a picture of a person that's prepared by God. It's a picture of a person who's willing to go the extra mile. And we know all of that Jesus commanded us in the New Testament. We understand this. We see here what God is doing. Now notice letter D, the diligent fashion. Again, notice her hard work and diligence to help these strangers, repeatedly drawing up water for both camels and men. This was very hard, backbreaking work. She was willing to do it. Willing to do it. She was diligent. She was faithful. Can I say something about, and to many of you godly women out there, thank God for your faithfulness and for serving God, taking care of your homes, taking care of your beautiful families. We ought to have a diligence about all that we do. You ought to be diligent in the way you care for the kids and the house, and even many of you work full-time jobs and all of that. But showing in yourself and in your lifestyle a testimony for God. I want to do that. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? Let me say number four. There's an unmerited recipient, unmerited. We see they came in and they met the family and all those things. Now notice, if you will, verse 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Worshiped the Lord. Now here's our text verse here, verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I, being in the way. This servant says, I'm unmerited. Unmerited favor from God. We call that the grace of God. There's a proper praise. He took no credit. He said, well, if I wouldn't have gone, if I wouldn't have submitted my life, I wouldn't have followed through. No, he didn't say anything. He said, blessed be God. Blessed be the Lord God of my master. He didn't leave him destitute. By the way, our God, the God of this Bible, He will never leave you destitute. Sure, you may not have all the money in the world. You may not have the nicest things, but you will not be destitute. He said it repeated in Hebrews, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You've been forsaken lately? Maybe somebody's left you? No. You come back to Christ and God. Say, God, I want to know what you want me to do. He properly placed his praise. It was properly placed. It was all to God. All to thee I surrender. Let her see there was a promise procured. His faith was increased that day because he saw firsthand the promise fulfilled. He saw Abraham's faith and Abraham's walk with God. But now this man, what? He's now experiencing it for himself. Can I say something about our children? And maybe some of you have friends or people that you are influencing right now. We ought to take, they're not going to live off of our faith. They've got to grow and learn how to walk with their own legs, don't they, spiritually? And this man now says, boy, blessed be the God, Lord God of Abraham, my master. And now I know who this God is. Oh, there's a promise procured in this, if you will. We see here, his faith was increased that day. When you get in the way and you let God use you, and sometimes you'll be trampled over. Sometimes you'll be treated like a doormat. Yeah, we know that. Sometimes you'll live for Christ and no one will give you a pat on the back, as we've said before. No one will give you a kiss on the cheek. You won't get a good party for faithful service for 35, 40, 60 years. No. What do? You do it. You love the Lord. You fulfill that. Why? Because He's been faithful to you. You serve Him and keep going and keep being faithful for Christ alone, for Him. Unmerited recipient. Number five, there's some users that are revealed now. Notice this, verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. Now, you know Laban, and Laban's going to show up again later. And he's a rascal. I'll leave it at that. He's not the nicest guy. But she has a brother, Laban, and Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. Verse 30, came to pass when he saw the earring bracelets upon his sister's hands. And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. He said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. What did he get all excited about? He saw the gold earring. Whoa, blessed be the Lord. Come on in. Come on in. There are people around us, you know that. And we have to be careful ourselves, myself especially. We do not get excited, or we're not moved to action, and we're not moved to praise. He praised the Lord God. Why? When we see the money, when we see the gold, when we see the things that maybe interest us, be careful. Now, there's a selfish interest that's revealed. There are those that serve just to get credit. There's those that serve just to get attention. Laban will later show up and be a great burden to Jacob, as you recall. He just really takes advantage of Jacob and Jacob's sincerity and all of that. And he becomes a great burden to Jacob. But there's users revealed as we get in the way for the Lord. And by the way, God reveals those people to us. If you're walking with God and you're a spiritual man or woman, He'll reveal those people to you. You'll see them. The letter B I have here, for sake of alliteration purposes, the sleazy invitation. His invitation was motivated by greed. True servants serve out of obedience, humility, not recognition and praise. Sleazy invitation. Users revealed. Let me move on here. Number 6, undeterred responsibility. Undeterred. Now we see all that happens. Things come. And they want him to tarry, you know that, and stay a while. And he says, I've got to get back. I've got to get back to what my responsibility is and finish my task. And we jump down for sake of time with me to verse 55. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days at the least 10. After that, she shall go. He said unto them, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I'll go. It was a shock and surprise to the family. You don't want to stay with us? She says, no, I'll go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. Now, there's an undeterred responsibility. There's a hindrance rejected. And I hope to look at this here this evening, in the message this evening, about the hindrances. You and I can be hindered, and we are hindered daily by the world, by the flesh, you know, and by our adversary. He's seeking daily to hinder you from the walk and your walk with the Lord. And the servant says, no. And by the way, it's always that, isn't it? It's always a little bit here is offered. How about you stay with us a little bit longer? Stay with us just 10 more days. Stay with us a little longer. No. I can't. Lay aside the weights and sins that so easily beset us. Remember that? Hebrews chapter 12. Lay aside. We don't have time to waste. Now, hindering or tarrying there with the family, that's no sinful thing. Obviously, a young girl wants to spend time with her family before she leaves and all that. They love her. They're doting on her. There's nothing sinful, but it's a weight. It's not God's will. We have things there. All of us have to be careful. The weights, the sins, they so easily, notice what it says, beset us, set us to the side, take us out of the way we're running. I want to get in the way for God. Yeah, but there's things that may beset you or set you to the side where you're not in the way anymore. We don't have time to waste in the service of the Lord. There was a hurried response, hurried. There was no hesitation in this decision making. He knew his task and got it done. Galatians 5:70 says, who hath hindered you? As we hopefully will see this evening. There's usually a who involved in the hindrance. Who's hindered you? There's no hesitation. There's a hurried response. There was an honest reluctance. Let her see. It'll be hard to leave what you love and feel comfortable when you serve the Lord, but it will be well worth it. Now, Rebekah obviously probably was very sad that she had to leave her family, but to look out and see what was ahead of her own family, her own life. Rebekah realized this and went willing with the men. Serving is not often pretty or elegant, but it can often be painful. Serving the Lord. Get in the way. But again, we must be reminded, Matthew 11:28, Jesus makes it clear. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, ye that looking for peace, I'll give you peace. We're not exempt from problems and difficulties, but we know we have peace. We know we have the Lord. So honest reluctance. We see here, though. Now, we're going to come down to it here and conclude and get to the heart, really, of what we've been looking at. There's a unified relationship. Notice verse 61. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide, and lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? The servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her, verse 67, into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. A unified relationship. Isaac has not been seen in Scripture since the sacrifice attempt in chapter 22. Did you know that? All the way back in chapter 22, he's taken up by his father. That great scene that's unfolded there on that mount. He's not been seen since that time. Now, we see after his mother passing and all that comes, He's now unified in his relationship. Again, this is a great picture of us and Christ. I believe very soon that Christ will return. I believe that. We're going to have a wonderful time called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb with our Lord and Savior. And we'll be comforted. We'll be comforted. We'll get to heaven one day, my friend, and there'll be no more tears, the Bible says. The book of Revelation makes it clear there'll be no more pain, no more tears. Isaac was a lonely man. He was in pain because of the loss of loved ones. He was in a place where he didn't know what to do, where to go, how to go about it. And yet he came and he saw that beautiful woman coming and all that was in ready for him with his wife and unified relationship. During the long trip from Rebekah's home to meet Isaac, no doubt the servant explained to her all he could about his master's son. All he could. Hey, let me tell you about him. He's this tall and he's got this hair color and he's got this, but she still just hasn't met him. She only has read about him. She's only heard, per se, from others about him. And what happened? Oh, my friends, that's what's going to take place with us. All we know is what we've read about Christ. All we know is what others have told us about Christ. And we see some pictures and paintings that have been done, and we don't know how accurate they are, but one day we're going to see Christ and meet him, the old song says, face to face. Are you looking forward to that day? I know I am. I know I am. And for us to get to that place, can I say today, if you're not saved, again, you've got to get saved. You need to accept Christ as your Savior. There's enough of you trying to do it on your own. It is not working. My friend, you may be a good person. You may be well-educated. You may be a moral person, but that's not good enough. You've got to accept the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, our Savior. If you are saved, I want to encourage you with this. Get in the way. Get to where God can use you. Get to where God can begin to direct your paths. And it's not for a defeat, as we've said before. It's not for digression. It's for progress. And we see all of that. Are you today in a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If you are, you can look forward to this day coming when you'll meet Him face to face. But while you're here on this earth, are you in the way? Get in the way. Get in the way where God can use you, where God can begin to mold you and especially direct your path for the days ahead, for the days ahead. We're going to continue this on Sunday mornings, hopefully, Lord willing. But getting in the way, He says there, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I being in the way, verse 27, I being in the way, the Lord led me. You note there that God didn't just take him and place him. No, God's waiting for you to make the decision. He's waiting for you and me to see if we'll step out by faith and step out by love and say, God, I'm willing to step out and let you do what you want to do and leave the consequences up to you, Lord, and let you have my life and take it and use it. Oh, my friend, are you willing to do that? Get in the way for God. He'll use you and He'll bless your life. I hope that was a help to you and a blessing to you today. Well, we're praying for you once again, as I often say, and I hope you have a good day today. Spend time with the Lord and stay faithful to Him, all right? Well, let's have a word of prayer. We'll end it this morning. Father, thank you again for an opportunity here to share your word. And I pray you'd help me personally and all of us to get in the way. Get in the way. So often we get out of the way, Lord, but you want us in the way, so that you can use us the way that you want to. I pray for your power and strength in the weeks ahead, Lord. Give us your wisdom and guide us, Lord. We love and thank you again for your precious word, for the Holy Spirit, and especially for the dear Son that you sent for us, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We pray. Thank you.